When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
What is that?
That's the opening of Mates.
Yeah, but they just play it. They don't. You don't. What I'm saying is, you don't have to do it because
I know there were cutbacks. So I thought just to be sure.
But the
music guy might have been out on his keister.
No.
I didn't know, so I thought we.
No. Because we signed the thing about a contract.
Yeah.
When I sign a contract with somebody, like we signed with the orchestra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Times are tough. Yeah. We gotta. Everybody's gotta tighten their belts.
Yeah,
but I'm honoring that contract.
Uh-huh.
So when I signed that 9-year deal with the orchestra last year, I still got 8 years to run on that thing.
Uh-huh.
Do I have to go out of pocket to pay the orchestra? Yeah, I got to go out of pocket.
Uh-huh.
But it's a contract I signed. I'm a man of my word. I'm honoring that contract. So no, they're going to play that goddamn song.
Right.
Because they got to honor their part of the contract.
I signed a one-off for them because my idea was I'll record it once.
Uh-huh.
And they can come in and play all they want, but I'm not paying them.
Can you do that?
Yeah. See, you signed a 9-year contract.
Right.
I signed a 40-minute session contract.
Uh-huh.
But you know what else I signed? Confidentiality
what?
Agreement.
Uh-huh.
So they can't talk about what they did. So I think, I'm not sure, but I think you're being fleeced. Because they recorded that one time. Now they come in every time we do the Mates to record it.
Right.
And you pay them.
Yeah.
Because you signed a 9-year contract with them.
Yeah, I signed a contract with them.
A 9-year contract.
They wanted a 7-year contract. I said, you know what, guys? I want to lock you in.
I talked to a tech expert.
Okay.
I was like, listen, let me run a crazy thing by you. I want to play a 15-minute bump at the beginning of my podcast.
It's a long bump, he said.
Yeah. He had the wacky weed going.
Right. You said a 15-minute bump. And I'm saying that's a long, long bump.
And then I said I meant 15 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, that's more like a bump.
Right.
I'm like, I gotta
can
we move it along?
Right.
So then I said, let me ask you something crazy. I have this piece of music that an orchestra did that I recorded. He's like, uh-huh. I'm like, and I do this podcast. He's like, you don't have to tell me who you are, pal.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan. I'm like, oh, thanks, bro. And so...
Most of your marijuana smokers enjoy snacks.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
No, I wasn't kidding you.
One aids and abets the other.
Right.
And these guys are all like, yeah, I'm hungry. You know, last week we did, ginger snaps.
That's right.
You drop a box off of something like that, who's like bracken up. They couldn't be more happier. They'd be your friend for life.
Right.
Like, hey man, here. Oh, I love these things. My grandma used to give me these things, ginger snaps. I'm like, yeah. So anyway, so I asked this guy. I said, listen, Ral, help me out with something. I recorded 15 seconds at an orchestra come in. Can I then play that recording every time I do the podcast?
Well, you can play it the one time.
No. Here's what he said.
Uh-huh.
Here's my question. He was like, every time I do a podcast, can we take that same piece of music and record that and use that same piece of music for every bump on every podcast without bringing in the orchestra every week? He's like, yeah, of course. That's why it's recorded. That's what he said to me. So I figured out then that piece of music that I recorded the first time,
right,
I can use it in perpetuity. And so
we should just use it on the podcast.
Well, I can use it in perpetuity too.
Okay.
And I can use it on the podcast as well, as long as I want. I don't have to bring an orchestra in at all. So I think your 9-year contract with...
They wanted people. 7.
Yeah.
Right. I wanted to lock them in.
You locked them in for 9?
Yeah, because I'm thinking, oh, you know, what if their rates go up and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. And how long is this podcast going to go? I don't know.
Right.
I need to cover myself.
I got to lock them in.
But you see, with my way, we paid them for one 40-minute session one time and never have to pay him again.
Okay.
I think maybe my model might be a little more efficient.
All right, but hear me out.
Okay. Even if the rates go up, I don't care because I don't need to use them.
Uh-huh. That was my question.
Yeah. So say, for example, in year five, they go, we got you over a barrel, Michael Ian Black.
Right.
We need to double our wages or we're not coming in on Monday to record for your podcast. And you're like, fuck.
Right.
Fuck. And you go say to your wife, you're like, Janice, I can't believe this. You know how we always thought when we were living together in this hovel down in the East Village that, you know, one day when we had some success, everything, all our problems would disappear. Our problems haven't disappeared because I got these yokels over here at the orchestra holding me up for fucking ransom and it's not fair in year five.
Uh-huh. But Tom, mm-hmm. This is where I've got you.
Mm-hmm.
I double their pay in year three and then again in year six.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a very good deal for the orchestra. So you're paying them double in year
happy.
Three?
They're happy, I'm happy, right? Because I know it's going to sound good every time they record it.
Well, they're happy, yes. But what I'm saying is we use the same piece of music. If we used a different piece of music every time,
mm-hmm.
I can see maybe us needing an orchestra
again.
No, but
people like that piece of music.
Right. And so
I think we should stick with that piece of music.
No, I hear you. I don't think we should change the music.
Played pretty much exactly the same way every time.
Yeah.
Because people like it.
Right. And that's sort of my point, you see.
Yeah, you got to get these guys locked up.
What I'm saying is we don't necessarily have to lock them up because we already have the piece of music that we like.
Uh-huh.
See? And so you're paying them, doubling them in year three.
And then again in year six. Yeah.
So I don't need to pay them anything after that.
Whoa. I'm not quadrupling their year three salary.
No,
I'm only doubling their year three salary.
Right, but you're quadrupling their year one salary.
But in stages.
Right, right.
So it's different.
So doubling in year two.
No, doubling in year three.
Doubling in year three.
Doubling again.
In year six.
Yes.
So in fact, quadrupling their year one salary.
Wow.
Right. So my suggestion is we just use the piece of music and we pay them zero in year three and zero in year six and zero in all the years in between because we just needed that 140-minute recording session to give us the piece of music that we love and we use to begin Mates.
I'm really going to have to think about this, but I see the logic of your argument.
I don't know that you do.
I think what you're saying is
that you are being fleeced. Does that make any sense at all?
I think what you're saying is,
go on.
That first time they came in and they recorded the intro to the thing. It took about 40 minutes to get it.
About 40 minutes to get what we were happy with. We were in the booth and you're like, try it again.
Right.
You're like, more percussion.
We're paying for 40. Let's use the 40.
That's what you said.
All right. We got it. We used it. People mm-hmm. liked it.
Yeah.
So I said to the guys, I'll see you next week. Just like I said to you at the end of the podcast. Right, see you next week. They came back.
Remember what I was doing at the time. I was giving you, I was raising my eyebrows. And remember shaking my head to you like that?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
Very distinctly.
And you were like, I'll see you guys next week.
Right.
And we're going to lock you up because we love that. You were saying that you were back slapping.
Right.
Remember you went and shook the hands of every orchestra member?
Yeah. I had a sore hand at the end of that.
You walked from behind the glass to do that. And the audio was on. So in the booth, I could still hear. You're like, okay, we're going to lock you guys up. And remember me raising my eyebrows to look at you and shaking my head?
Okay. My interpretation mm-hmm. of that shaking the head was, when I said, I'm going to lock you up, mm-hmm. and the conductor said, yeah, let's try to get a 7-year thing going.
Mm-hmm.
You were shaking your head. What I thought that meant was we should lock him up for nine.
I see. So that was on our part a miscommunication,
uh-huh.
I think. Because what I was trying to convey is like, we're not going to see them next week. We have what we need. We don't ever see these guys again.
Right.
And what you thought was like, we need to see these guys every week for 9 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's lock them up.
That's a classic miscommunication.
Right.
You understand?
Well, you know, sign the contract, so.
Yeah, so you're going to keep paying them.
Yeah.
Any more doubling their salary? Year nine?
Well, year nine, they have a bonus.
Uh-huh. And what is that dependent on, the bonus?
It depends on their satisfaction.
So if they're satisfied,
they get a bonus.
With their work, they get a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the odds are that they will turn out to be
satisfied? I hope good, you know, because I want them to do a good job. So I hope they're very happy.
Then you'll have to pay them more money, though.
If they're satisfied.
Right. What do you think the odds are that they're like, we're not satisfied with our work? Then you're like, well, I'm not coming out of pocket on this one.
Right.
Well, you don't like that because they're not satisfied with the work. And yet, we're not using anything that they are doing after that first 40-minute session. So maybe if they're unsatisfied or dissatisfied, it doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a little bit. I know it's a tough concept. It's a lot for you.
It was a lot of legalese and.
No, it wasn't. It was just you signed a contract to have them come in and perform every week. Not very hard to sign.
Yeah.
Remember how they jumped at it? They were whispering and whispering, and the one guy said, "Do you mean we keep coming back every week to play this same spot of music?" Mm-hmm. For 7 years, and you went incorrect. You went, right, of course, that would make no, and he got as far as, that would make no, you said 9 years. Mm-hmm. And he turned and looked at everyone, and they said, where do we sign?
Right.
They couldn't get to those pens fast enough. Why do you think that is?
At the time, I looked at it as a win-win.
How?
They win.
Yep.
And we win.
How do we win?
Because we locked them up for 9 years, guaranteeing.
9 years that we don't need.
Let's table that part of the conversation.
Even though I sort of feel it might be the most important factor, you want to table that.
Just for a moment.
All right.
At the time, I felt like, you know, what if technology changes and we can't use the recording? What if it's...
Could we then not say to them, hey, we want to bring you guys in for a second session 4 years later.
Right.
Pay you the same base rate.
Right.
Come on in. You all get paid 40 minutes.
Right.
See what we get. Because the technology changed, so now we need to do it again.
Right. Like, everything was happening very fast. We only had him for the 40 minutes. Yeah. And we had
After those 40 minutes, have to then sign them to a 9-year contract, was my point.
Right. I understand now.
And the technology probably wouldn't change every week. So we're ahead of the game just bringing them in for a 40-minute session every time the technology changes, which realistically hasn't changed yet since we did it.
Just to play devil's advocate to myself, or we could just transfer the initial recording to the new technology. That's playing devil's advocate to myself.
You get a technician like Raul, he could probably do that in, you know, a minute.
Wow. But who knows what he charges?
Probably not the same as who a knows what he contract charges? That 40 people of an orchestra, probably not that much.
Just 43, because do you remember...
Raul those ginger snaps. He'd do it for free.
But do you remember when they came in and I said, the flute sound a little light, and we brought in the three new flutes?
The flautists?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's 43.
And I said to you, there's no flute in our thing? And you said, yes, but...
It sounds light.
Yeah, it sounded light. And your impression was because it was light, we needed more flutes. And I remember me saying, we don't need any flutes.
Well, you know...
And you saying, sounds light.
Okay, well...
I was like, you know what? It's not going to cost too much more for one 40-minute session to bring in three more people in. We had to wait.
And it didn't.
No, it didn't. It barely cost anything at all. But now those three other flautists are also being paid for 9 years. They can't believe their luck. They're hanging out there, you know, at Ray's Famous, you know, and then they get a call to come into the Midtown session here in New York City. And they come up there, and next thing you know, they walk out 45 minutes later.
Right.
The 9-year contract, courtesy of Michael Ian Black. You locked them up like
crazy.
You locked
them up like crazy. Everything was happening so fast.
How fast was it happening for you?
We had 40 minutes with these guys.
Right, but then we were done, and we had the recording. So we were done.
You remember how happy we were? It was like, it sounds great, guys.
Yeah, it sounds
you
great.
You said it.
I did.
You said it sounds great.
Yeah, because it did sound great.
And then I ran out there.
I was like, we don't need anything else.
I'm like, we got to lock these guys up.
Shaking
hands. I said, we got to lock you guys up.
I remember me raising my eyebrows going,
yeah, no, we don't. 9 years. No, and I.
Yeah, you thought my no.
You know, hindsight being 2020, I would have done things differently. I absolutely would.
What would you have done differently?
I probably.
Just 7 years, probably.
Yeah, seven.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to Mates.
Mike and Tom eat snacks.
Mike and Tom eat snacks, everybody.
With my good friend Michael Ian Black.
And my good friend Tom Cavanaugh.
And we are here today to bring you something. Well, we're happy about this. I got to say, Michael, this is a pleasing one. There's some snacks, Oreos being one of them, that are out there, like a white elephant.
Yep.
Is it a white elephant?
That's exactly
They're
what
just
it is.
Out there like a white
whale. More like a white whale.
That's what I thought. When I said
white elephant is kind of something that you buy and you can't – it's something that you bought and it's just going to
take Is it a food
money.
Chain?
No, white elephant, it's I don't know what a white elephant is.
I think it's a hotel on Nantucket Island in Massachusetts. Right. So they're out there like a white whale.
Yeah, but the white elephant's something that you just sink money into. That's not this. That's what a white elephant is.
Isn't that a money pit?
Yeah, same thing. But white elephant is, this is going to be a white elephant. Or it's going to sink money into this.
Is that an expression?
I think so.
Oh, man. Michael bought this new house. It's going to be a white elephant.
Yep.
Is that a thing? It is now. Today on the program, you know, sometimes you get the classic. And sometimes you get, like, some newfangled thing. And there's some things that are out there, like a white elephant.
Yeah.
And you wonder when they're ever going to come home to roost. Today, I sort of feel like something has come home to roost.
Yep.
And by that, I mean a classic...
It's an icon.
Yeah, a classic, iconic treat. And when I tell you there's plain and peanut, does that give you a hint about what I'm talking about?
No.
When I tell you... So that doesn't give you a hint? Okay. I wonder if the viewers... Again, that's debatable still, whether they're viewers. Where I got some people running some tests now because it's just been like an uproar the last couple of weeks.
We mostly put it to bed.
We mostly have put it to bed, but we're still getting the mail on that. We're going to get to the bottom of this. Maybe you guys can stop the mail. We'll get to the bottom of whether or not you guys are viewers. If you're viewers, clearly you can see us now. So you know what I'm talking about. We got the plane,
mm-hmm.
and we got the peanut.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't ring a bell with you? Why don't you read out for the debatable viewers... what we have here, Michael.
M-A-N-M.
Not the rapper.
Stormtroopers hitting the ground.
M&M's.
Plain and peanut. Now in the world of M&M's, you got all kinds of flavors. You got your rice ones, you got your coconut ones, you got your almond ones.
Rice?
You got your, well, I mean, yeah, they got the...
Rice?
Yeah, the like puffed rice ones. Puffed rice. Like Nestle Crunch kind of M&M's.
M&M puff rice?
I think so. But we're not doing that.
Nah.
We're doing...
Plain and peanut.
Plain peanut.
That's what you do.
That's what
we
you do.
We run into this thing time and time again where people are like, hey, this works. Let's come up with something else like it. And it generally is a fail.
Generally, yes.
Yeah.
Now, the M&M people, they're very smart people. We're not getting into whether the other ones work or they don't work. That's a conversation for a different time.
That might be also... We might leave that for the amateurs. But here at Mates Worldwide Headquarters, we're sticking to business.
Yes.
We're down to brass tacks.
You can't talk about M&M's without talking about the original milk chocolate.
You can't.
You can't really talk about the original milk chocolate without talking about the peanut.
You can't.
They are classics in the snack game.
You can't talk about one without the other. You can't.
You can't do it.
You can try, but you can't.
When push comes to shove, uh-huh. you simply can't.
You can't.
You can't do it.
You can't.
So we're not even going to try.
No, we could try, but you can't.
You can't.
You can't. So, well, you go ahead and open that there. That's the peanut, and I got the M&M. The distinguishing feature, and I'm sure most people know this, the M&M plain, simple brown package, right?
Sure.
On top of it, M&M's, with a graphic of the what will be found inside.
On the peanut... That's your yellow bag. It says peanut M&M's with a similar graphic of what you will find inside. The peanut M&M's, if the packaging is to be believed, are slightly more ovoid in shape, representing the peanut, and because the peanut itself is ovoid shaped, so you have to encompass the peanut with the candy coating and the chocolate.
Now, I think the peanut... There goes our drumsticks. I think the peanut won out on the packaging. You know? These guys, the milk chocolate, they came along, they're like, great... We're ruling the roost. We're chocolate, so we're brown. These guys got the M&M's. M&M peanuts got the splashy yellow packet. Stands out. You know, there's more to them. You know, they're a bigger, larger thing. They still got the dark brown M&M, but it doesn't blend in with the brown packaging the way the...
It's a friendlier looking
plain
package.
Does. Yeah, and it's saluting you a little bit more than the drab brown.
I'm going to mention something about M&M's,
please.
Which I don't feel like ever get the credit that they deserve.
Oh, this is
regarding the packaging.
Uh-huh.
The bag on the M&M's rips so easily.
Oh, yes, smooth rip.
It's a paper.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing to it.
I mean, there's plastic in there, but it rips like paper.
Yeah.
It's a great rip.
You don't struggle. You don't open it and they're spilling all over the place.
Bing, dong, bing, 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 bing,
running down the aisles of the movie theater.
Listen to that.
Yeah, that's great. You just did it.
A lot of times, you know, the packaging on these things, it's very hard to open. Not mm-hmm. with the M&M's.
No. Now, I feel like there's going to be battle lines drawn. I feel like there's going to be people here who say, I just go with the milk chocolate. The peanut's not for me. If I wanted peanut, I would go grab a damn peanut. I want chocolate. I go with the M&M's. And I feel that other people are going to be like, if you're going to get M&M's, get the peanut. You know, get the full big package. You know, get the ovoid.
I say this.
Go ahead. What do you
There's
say?
Dog people and there's cat people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people like me
mm-hmm.
who love dogs and cats.
Interesting.
I don't choose.
No?
You know, yeah, I like a cat. Yeah, I like a dog.
Yeah.
This is how I feel about the peanut and the M&M's.
Yeah, you like them both.
Now.
I'm a dog person.
Have I ever eaten M&M's critically? No. So I'm going into M&M's with a kind of prejudice for, because I like M&M's.
Yeah.
The amateur.
They've earned that.
Yes. The amateur side of me, the guy who doesn't eat snacks critically for a living, likes M&M's. Will the professional snackologist enjoy M&M's? Hard to say.
Hard to say. That's why we do the podcast. That's why we make the tough calls. I got this, the M&M milk chocolate right in front of me, and I can't take it no more.
Yeah, you got to eat them.
I got to eat one. They're like, I can smell the chocolate. It's a rich, thick chocolate smell. Here, grab some of those.
Kind of a surprising color distribution. God damn it. Stupid drumsticks.
The drumsticks keep falling.
Kind of an interesting color distribution when you first took it out.
Yeah, there was a plethora of blue and orange.
Heavily weighted towards blue and orange.
But really, I feel it. Now, I wonder what the thing is. There's got to be some way that they all get in the mix, right?
Sure. What I assume is they have some kind of M&M sorting robot that puts in exactly the right number of M&M's in the correct proportions.
Or maybe they just have one line of greens falling into a bag, one line of oranges, one line, and they just all flow into the bag at the same time.
Maybe.
As opposed to the sorting robot.
I think they have a sorting robot.
Okay. I would like to believe that they have a sorting robot.
I don't see why you would want to believe anything else.
If you were a robot, oh, dream what job. A job.
Dream gig.
What a gig.
Yeah. Now I put windshields on Camrys.
You idiot. I'm a sorting robot.
For M&M? Come on.
You see old Fred over here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's interning over there at M&M.
Yeah.
He might become a sorting robot.
Nothing better.
Oh.
Unless you're a laser robot.
Or if you're one of those NASA space robots.
Yeah, you could be a space robot, laser robot, M&M sorting robot.
But really, maybe like, M&M sorting robot makes you a robot of the people.
Yeah.
A robot of the robots.
You're not, yeah. I mean, if you're a robot who just wants to go along to get along, you could put doorknobs on Camrys. You can do whatever you're going to do. Maybe you mix cement.
Yeah, work over there at Ford.
But if you aspire for something a little more glamorous, you're going to go to the robot parties, you know, shake some hands. Yeah, robot sorter.
Sorting robot.
All right, I'm gonna pop an M&M into my mouth.
What kind of M&M though?
This is an original.
Okay.
Orange with the M emblazoned on it as it's meant to be.
The classic M. Yep. We went in there. But now remember he's doing it as a professional.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hold on.
Oh, he's going three. You going three? Yeah, it's hard to eat just one. I'll give you that.
All right.
All right. What do you got?
So I'm speaking as a professional now.
Uh-huh. As a professional.
I'll say this about the M&M. First of all, you're never going to get me off M&M's. I'm always going to like M&M's.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I think M&M's are perfect.
No one's going to go to you, Michael, I need you off M&M's.
It's not going to happen.
And even if they did say, Michael, I need you to not go the M&M route anymore, please, for personal reasons.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, guy, I hear you. I respect you. I can't get off it.
You don't even know the guy's name.
No, he's a guy.
So he's a guy coming up to you on the street going, yeah, you know what? It's going to do us all a big favor if you drop the M&M's, Michael, okay?
Guy, I can't do it.
You just shut him down.
Like, what am I going to do?
That's not happening.
Well, I got to cut the conversation short.
It's a non-starter.
It's a non-starter for me. It's a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to get off M&M's. However, let me say this. If there were a way.
Uh-huh.
To boost the chocolate a little bit or turn down the candy coating a little bit, just a little bit, I would like the M&M that much more. Here's why. I'm getting too much coating. I'm getting not enough chocolate. I want to know my chocolate. I want it to come up to me. I want it to give me a hug.
Mm-hmm.
The
well said.
The candy coating
mm-hmm.
is my it's my come on in.
Mm-hmm.
Come on in. We're having a party.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah. We threw a party just
hey,
for
man,
you.
Come on in.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks.
I'm waiting
I'm coming
for you.
In. Then I come
We're
in.
I'm so happy you're here.
You're so happy I'm there, but so where's my hug?
I just got to go to the. Hey. I got to finish off the snacks.
What I'm getting is.
I'm putting some tuna on some Triscuits.
I'm getting maybe a bro hug at best. Mm. You know, I'm getting a pat on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. I'm getting, hey, yeah, it's great you're here. It's still a party. I'm still happy to be there. I wish I was getting that hug, and I'm not getting the hug.
Do you sometimes feel that we as snackologists are joined at the snack hip? Sometimes I do, because y'all took the words right out of my mouth.
Hmm.
Here's my issue. Are you going to get me off M&Ms?
No.
No, it's not going to happen. You know, if I'm at the rodeo, right, and I'm strapping my arm on to the Bronco, I'm about to go out there.
Is the Bronco M&Ms?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just strapping my wrist to the Bronco as they do, you know. I don't really have a lot of rodeo experience.
No.
So I'm a bit of a greenhorn, but I'm jumping on the Bronco. I'm about to have the gate opened and out I go, right?
Yeah.
And some guy comes up to me, probably a cowboy. I mean, he's got the vest on. I assume he's riding in the saddle.
Yeah, but at the rodeo, everybody's wearing the vest. Everyone's wearing the hats. They may not be
no,
cowboys.
No, no, like he's wearing like the armor vest.
Oh, yeah, he's got the Kevlar vest on.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's like riding Broncos
or
if he's riding Bolts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got the Stetson. He comes to me and he's got a wad of chaw.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you got to drop the M&M, boy.
Uh-huh.
As intimidating as that, got to drop the M&M, boy, thing is, I look him right in the eye and I say to him, I say, guy, can't do it. Boom, gates launched. All right,
wow.
Yeah. Even with all the other stuff that I'm going on right now, I don't know how to ride a bucking Bronco.
No.
You get my ass handed to me. I got no clue.
No.
Strapping the arm on.
Oh, you're
going to
be on that sand.
You know the thought that was going through my head when they strapped the arm on me?
What?
Just like, why are they now I can't get off.
Right.
You know, it seems to me like counterintuitive.
Right.
Don't strap anything to the Bronco because he's going to buck me and off I go. Okay, great. But if I'm strapped to him, I'm flaying around like a rag doll.
Yeah, there. They don't really strap you.
They strap it pretty good.
They
wrap
tight.
It on your wrist, and they wrap it to the pommel.
Yeah, but it's real tight. But then you let go, it's still going to fly. And, you know,
Hey, have you done it? No, you're strapped on there pretty good. No, you do bulls. But the bulls, they strap it on pretty good, too.
Yeah, they're tight, but...
Right on the testicles, too.
Yeah, but you're not tied to the animal.
I don't know. I think cowboys probably aren't because they have big, strong forearms.
Oh,
right?
I see.
And I don't have a big, strong forearm. Uh-huh. Neither of my forearms are big or strong. Look. Is that big?
No.
Is that strong?
No.
No. See? So I'm strapped pretty. I'm under the Bronco. I got guy coming up to me going, you need to drop the M&M, boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, guy, no can do.
And you're off.
Not bad last words.
Great last words.
Right. I tried to get into drop the M&Ms.
He wouldn't do it.
He looked me right in the eye and says, no can do.
I hope your friends call you Moby. Like I did when you knew me. You can leave in the morning if you're scared. And I don't think we can make it. If you did, then we faked it. We should leave in the morning if you're scared. Honestly, I know you.
Anyway, that's I'm not going to drop the M&Ms. But that being said, I have always felt, and this is going to give you indication of my favorite between the two, but with the plane, no, sir. I rarely opt for the plane for that exact reason. When you said it, what did I do? I started staring out the window and shaking my head because we're conjoined at the snack hip.
I thought you were disagreeing.
Oh, did you? Because I was shaking my head. But literally, I was like, here we go, this guy. He's like a snack brother.
This is a problem with you shaking your head, me not understanding what you mean.
It got us into trouble with the 9-year contract, but it didn't get us into trouble. It got you into trouble.
Yeah.
Not me. There's no money coming out of my pocket for 9 years straight. The chocolate inside the candy coating is very soft, and there's not that much of it. And the candy coating dominates the first 50, and you're in there with the candy coating, and that is pleasing. The candy coating, I find, is pleading.
Yeah, we're having a party.
Once you crush it open, it's just this. It's not a lot of chocolate, and it's softer than I expect. And then the two get mangled in there, and there's no counterpoint to the jagged candy coat that's in your mouth. And so that has always been, for me, I rarely reach for the plane because of that. But am I dropping the M&Ms? No. So what do I reach for?
Peanut.
Exactly. Because peanut, Michael. Now, I'm going to fire a peanut in there. I have two ways of eating this, depending on my mood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
What's way one?
Okay. I pop it in my mood, in my mouth, and I just crush her up there.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I just eat the thing.
Don't tell me way two is sucking it. Sucking it right down to the peanut.
Way two is sucking it to the peanut.
Yeah.
That's way two. Just sucking it to the peanut.
Yeah, sucking it right on down to the peanut.
Mm. Yeah, when you say it, it's almost like you're...
What?
Ah, nothing. Anyway, I like to suck it.
Just getting your mouth around it and sucking it so hard right on down to the peanut.
Yeah, it's almost like when you say it, there's like a...
Getting that tongue all around it.
There's a subtext.
Yeah, running your tongue all over it and sucking it down to the peanut.
Yeah, maybe I'm mistaken here, but I feel... Yeah, it feels like there's a subtext to what you're doing right now.
What do you
now.
Think the subtext is?
Okay, am I crazy? It feels like there's a certain sexuality to
Whoa.
How...
Whoa.
No, I'm wrong?
Whoa.
Okay, I apologize.
Whoa.
It's just that you were like... Yeah,
way off base, guy.
All right. But if I play it back, I hear sucking it right down to the peanut. Get your tongue around there, sucking it down to the peanut.
I'm trying to be. Oh, you remember what I said?
Oh, it was the grunt.
Once I said radio is theater of the mind.
Yeah, you did say that.
I'm painting a picture.
Right, right.
And the picture I'm painting is my tongue.
All right, so I
grabbing
apologize.
Onto
I had
that peanut like a hot syrup on a biscuit.
Uh huh.
Sucking it down to the peanut.
I guess I had it wrong. I apologize.
So good. That's my spot.
Oh, yeah.
That's my spot at Peanut M&M.
There's two things here. One, I want to apologize for getting that wrong. Two, I'm very glad that...
I'm close,
I'll never,
M&M.
I'll never be
I'm close.
I'm very glad that I will never be going to bed with you.
Oh, yeah. I'm close, Peanut M&M.
Because you sitting there going, I'm close, makes me think, rough.
You lost me, buddy.
Okay, so what I'm doing is I suck it down to the peanut. But what I like to do, all right, Michael, when I get right down there, not to have all the chocolate sucked off.
Yep.
There's a little bit of candy coat there. Most of it is gone. I've sucked most of it away. But so I'm not just crunching down on a plain peanut.
Right.
I've got a little chocolate around there, and then I crunch down.
Yep.
And it's a lovely combination.
Kid, we play it the same way.
Is that right?
I will sometimes go way one. I will sometimes go way two. Now, when you were describing way two, what I thought you meant was sucking it right down to the peanut, sucking it dry.
Nope.
You don't. You never want to let it get dry because then you're just eating peanuts.
Yeah, then you're just eating peanuts. Why don't you go get a bag of peanuts? I don't want that. I didn't get M&Ms because I just want to eat a bag of peanuts.
You want to get about 75-80% of the way there.
I want to get 85.
Wow.
Yeah, 85. I want that coating. I want that suggestion. I want that nod to the chocolate as I eat the peanut. That's the most satisfying for me.
The thing about the peanut M&M that it has really has a cone for it is the peanut adds both extra crunch and a third flavor profile, which offsets the candy coating. The candy coating is good.
The candy coating goes well with the peanut in the way that it does not go well with the plain.
There's a reason they don't just sell the candy coating.
What is that reason?
It doesn't. You don't want it. You don't want too much candy coating.
And also, there'd be air in the middle.
Oh, right.
If you just had candy coating.
Oh, right.
And you wouldn't be able to say M&M plain, M&M peanut, probably.
No, you'd say M&M candy coating.
M&M candy coating.
Now, just the coating.
Now they might do that.
Stupid idea.
Yeah, well, they might do.
The reason is because it's not good. It'd just be a little.
I don't want just coating. I want something coated.
I want
what's it coating?
Rice. I want coconut. I want almond. I want peanut.
I buy my coats to wear them.
That's right. When you introduce the flavor profile of the peanut, it offsets the sweetness of the coating. It adds to the texture of the chocolate. It creates what might be...
Say it.
The best small snack in the game.
Interesting, interesting. Wow. 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 The best small snack in the game. Small snack in the game.
I'm going to amend that. Best small candy.
Oh.
Best small candy. There's small snacks I think I like better.
Okay. I'm less enthused, but that's still a big statement.
Big statement.
Yeah.
You know, it's better than a Raisinette, better than a Milk Dud, better than a Snow Cap.
No cap.
It's really perfectly proportioned. It's the right size. Tastes good. I can taste the chocolate now. I can taste the peanut. I can taste the candy coating. It's got everything. Now I feel like I'm getting the hug. I might be even getting a peck on the cheek. Somebody might be slipping me their tongue.
Hey, oh, whoa.
You're saying.
Just might be happening. Yeah, you're happy with it. You get to the party and you're like, this is going to be a good night.
Oh, yeah.
You walk in that door. No one's going back to the kitchen without giving you a hug.
They're playing Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
There's a taco bar set up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's lava lamps everywhere.
Read from your book. Let's dance, man. Let's dance. Mm-hmm. Hacky sack much?
Mm-hmm.
Those guys from Haagen-Dazs are in there. Hey, man.
Got the hot tub
welcome,
fired up.
Welcome, Michael. We're going to have some fun times here.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, you made it.
Mm-hmm.
All those Ben and Jerry's guys. Mm-hmm. Everybody's there.
Everybody's there.
Michael. It's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good snack.
Yeah.
Ratings?
You got to rate them. You got to rate them.
You got to rate them. You got to keep them rated.
Ratings. I'm going to start. For all the reasons we discussed, and for Michael doubling up on year 3 and year 6, M&M's, we love you. Look, I'm a guy on a Bronco, and they're trying to talk me out of M&M's, and it's just not going to happen. Some guy's coming up to Michael on the street, Times Square, trying to sell him some stuff. Michael's shutting him down.
Guy, it's not going
to
happen.
Guy, it's not happening. Shut him down. We're there for you. You guys are heralded. You guys are big, capital B, players in the snack game, and as snackologists, we respect you. That being said, M&M plain, I ain't reaching for you, bro, because the candy the combination just doesn't do it for me. 4. But Michael doubles up the orchestra. I double up on the peanut. M&M peanuts, 8.
For me, M&M original, there's going to be times in my life, more frequently than I like care to admit, where I just want to put something in my face.
Yeah.
If that something is M&M's original, I'm happy.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to be popping M&M's in my face, making no apologies for it. Here, M&M, here. You know, I'm going to bite him in the specific way I do, which is equator down. So I rested vertically in my teeth.
Mm.
Pop down that way.
Got a method.
And I'm going to enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
You put that in some ice cream? Fabulous.
Oh, you're happy with that?
Oh, yeah. Maybe toss a handful of that into your movie popcorn. Oh, boy.
Yeah, right. Yep.
But this rating is about M&M on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And you've given me enough pleasure in my life that I can't rate you any lower than a 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
M&M, I thank you. I love you. Peanut M&M.
Oh, you.
Peanut M&M has grown on me over the years for all the reasons mentioned. You know, if you had said to me as a child, Michael, do you want a legume in your candy? I would have said no.
You might have also said, what's a legume?
Probably. That probably would have been my first question.
Depending on what age you were posed that question.
Let's say 8.
Probably would have said, what's a legume?
Right. I would have said, no, thank you. Just give me my milk chocolate M&Ms.
Sure.
If I go trick-or-treating and I'm getting nothing but M&Ms, plain M&Ms, I'm a happy trick-or-treater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then they introduced the idea of peanuts into my M&M vocabulary. And I imagine in the beginning I was a little tepid about it.
Yeah,
but
when
over
you're
the
younger,
years,
it's
as my
harder,
palate
yeah.
has matured, yeah. as I've matured, as I've gained more world experience, as I've realized that a sweet snack is best when it's not purely sweet,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've come to gravitate more and more towards the peanut M&M. Peanut M&M, you're the best small candy in the game.
Wow.
I give you a 9.
Hello and see you next week.
See you next week.
9.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.